If you have been living and functioning in this world for any amount of time at all, then I would be willing to say that you have understood what betrayal is like. You've had somebody that's been a close friend, a coworker, that has betrayed you when you never thought they would. And most often that's what happens. It happens by somebody that you never ever thought in the world would turn their back on you or betray you. Well, today we're going to continue a look at the life of Joseph. This will be sermon number two or message number two in our series that I titled From the Pit to the Palace, God's Providence Through Betrayal and Hardship. And today we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Genesis, chapter 37. We're going to pick up where we left off from last week. So grab that Bible, turn it to Genesis 37, and I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, thank you for taking the time today to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that God is blessing you in a great and an incredible. Oh, excuse me. Little pollen's getting to me. But at any rate, I pray God is blessing you in a great and an incredible way. I mentioned just a moment ago that each and every one of us have had the opportunity to experience betrayal. It's somewhere along the line, somebody that you didn't think was going to betray you has betrayed you. And man, it hurt, it cut you deeply. And you know, you sat there and probably rounded it up in your mind that you thought, well, you know, I really trusted that person. Who am I going to be able to trust ever again? And some of you may still have some trust issues simply because of that. But today, we're going to be looking once again at the story of Joseph out of Genesis chapter 37, where we see how he was betrayed by his own family. Now, having somebody betray you is one thing, but when it's somebody that is your blood kin, that just really compounds the matter and makes it even worse. So today we're going to look at how he was betrayed by his own family. And this story serves to remind us that even those closest to us can sometimes turn against us. Now, if you remember last week, you know, we were talking about or getting the context of Joseph as the dreamer. And you have to remember he had this dream and he goes and he tells his brothers. And of course, the dream basically was stating that Joseph would be one who would be in charge of his brothers. In other words, his brothers would serve him. His brothers would bow down to him. Now, also keeping in context that Joseph was his father's favorite son. I mentioned before, we talked about the coat of many colors. That was a special gift. So there was some partiality there. And Joseph's brothers knew that. They knew that their daddy looked at Joseph as the favorite. So there was already some tension that was going on in the midst of that. And then Joseph, you know, probably not reading the room as he should, has this dream, goes and tells his brothers, hey, basically, you guys are going to be bowing down to me at some point someday. And of course, them already having some issues with Joseph were like, yeah, right, sure we are. So he told that to his dad, and you know, his dad, yeah, he's like, oh man, yeah, essentially you shouldn't have done that, but he kept that in his mind. So we also have some brothers that are a little uptight with Joseph, as it were, and you can just imagine, you know, what their thoughts were. Most of the time you sit there and you start thinking, well, how can I eliminate this? Okay, well, that's exactly what happens when we pick up our text in Genesis chapter 37. We're going to begin reading at verse 12. Genesis chapter 37, beginning with verse 12, it says, then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to him, here I am. Verse 14, then he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flock and bring word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was, wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? So he said, I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, they have departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of the hands, out of their hands, and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay hand on him, that he might deliver him out of the hand and bring him back to his father. Verse 23, so it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted up their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. And let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. And he returned to his brothers and said, the lad is no more, and I, where shall I go? So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not? And he recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and a captain of the guard. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you today again, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that right now as we spend this time in your word, that Lord, you would make it come to life within our hearts. Father, for the blessing that you can give us, Lord, the knowledge that we can glean from your word today. And Lord, I pray that you will help us make applicable to our lives the lessons that we will learn today. May the Holy Spirit speak and move freely in our lives. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would use me as the messenger of this time, Lord, to bring forth your word. May it be your word that pierces the hearts and the ears of the listener. And Lord, use it for your honor and for your glory. Thank you, Father, for your word that says that your word never returns void. So bless each and every listener today in a very special way. Draw them close to you. And Lord, I pray if there's one that does not know you, that today may truly be the day that they give their life to you and all of heaven would rejoice. So Father, bless these next few moments that we'll spend together as only you can. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we kind of pick our passage up from where we left off last week, it's very interesting to see what's going on. Now, you can see how Joseph's brothers already had a, and I'll just use the word disdain for him, but they had such a disdain for him to the point that they decided that they wanted to kill him. Now, remember, Joseph was the favored son of his father Jacob, and this was causing jealousy among his brothers. And any time that there's favoritism that's played toward one child, many of us probably at some point in our lives, we saw that. We saw where maybe a parent played some favoritism toward one of the children over the other children, and it creates issues among them. And that was essentially what was going on in this particular situation. Joseph was his father Jacob's favored son, and his brothers were jealous about that. So what had happened was his brothers plotted to get rid of him First off, they plotted to get rid of him by killing him. Jacob said, "Hey, Joseph, look, I know your brothers are out. They're tending to the flocks. I want you to go see what's going on. I want you to bring me a report back." And of course, as Joseph goes his way, he doesn't find the brothers essentially where he thought they were going to be. And he inquires of a citizen, and the citizen says, "They've gone down to Dothan. I kind of overheard him saying that." So when Joseph begins to come into the sight of his brothers and they see him and they recognize who he is, they're sitting there saying, "Man, we need to kill him. We need to get rid of him once for one and all." Now, one of the brothers, Reuben, essentially was like, "Nah, man, listen, we can't do that," you know. And Reuben's thought was, you know, if I can get them to take a different route on this thing with Joseph, I can probably deliver him. So Reuben comes up with the idea, "Let's just put him into a pit, out here, and then what'll happen?" Yeah, in his mind, he was thinking, "I'll just come back out and get him back out a little bit later and take him back home." But that's not what happened. They did put Joseph into the pit, but along the way, they see this caravan coming down, making its way down to Egypt, and they just thought, "Well, hey, you know what? We don't have to kill him, but we can make some money off of him. We will sell him into this caravan of traders that are on their way down to Egypt," which is exactly what they did. Now, this act of betrayal would have long-lasting consequences, not only for Joseph, but for his family as well. Now, I want to pause right here for just a moment, because most of us know this story. We know what takes place as it not only progresses, but how it ends. You know, I want us to think about the fact that God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And often it's not the same plan that you and I have for our own life. And what happens is that it often takes time to get from where we are to where God wants us to be. So I want you to keep in mind that as we go through this series, that everything that happens in the life of Joseph is part of God's plan and purpose. And we'll recap that, particularly when we get to the end. But especially if you're going through some tough times today and it seems like you've been going through those times for quite some time, I want to encourage you to just hang on. God is doing something in your life. He is making you something on the way to you being something, okay? So this was one of those situations that was going to have some long-term consequences for Joseph as well as his family. Now, in the passage that we're looking at today, we see how Joseph's brothers conspired against him and ultimately sold him into slavery. They were envious of Joseph's favor with their father, and they were envious of the dream that he had that seemed to indicate that he would rule over them. And instead of rejoicing in Joseph's success, they allowed their jealousy to consume them and to betray even their own flesh and blood. Now, one of the things that I said earlier is, most of us have probably at some point in our life been betrayed by somebody that we trusted. We've been betrayed by a friend. We were betrayed by somebody we never thought would ever leave our side. Could you imagine how much worse that is if it's family? And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, because some of you have been betrayed by family members, your own flesh and blood. And that's exactly what was going on with Joseph. Now, I don't want to get into his attitude at this point, but I want you to ask yourself the question, what do you think Joseph's attitude would be at this particular point? You know, his brothers, hate him. They were going to kill him. I don't even know that Joseph knew that part of it, but they wind up throwing him into a pit, pulling him out, selling him into slavery. And could you imagine, what would you be thinking about your brothers at that particular point? I mean, if there was ever a guy who had a right to sit back and say, "You know what, I can't stand my brothers," it would be Joseph. You know, if there was ever a guy who said, "Lord, why is this happening to me?" it would be Joseph. If there was ever a guy who would have the right to say, "Lord, this is not fair," it would be Joseph. Now, keep that in mind, because that is something that we'll talk about again as we go forward, talking about the journey of Joseph. Okay, now, in the story, it reminds us of the brokenness of the human relationship, as well as the destructive power of jealousy and envy. That is something that I want to drive home, particularly to each and every one of us today. Jealousy and envy are relationship killers. They will destroy relationships, whether they're friendships, whether they are romantic relationships. Now, granted, just a tiny smidgen of jealousy is a good thing. It keeps you on your toes. But a lot of jealousy, you know, makes a person feel like they're being smothered. And it will completely destroy a relationship. And then envy is the same way. Envy meaning desiring something somebody else has. Yeah, it's all right to look and say, boy, it'd be nice to have one of those. But when it gets to the point where it consumes who you are, and you're striving not only to acquire what they have, but you will do whatever it takes to acquire what they have, envy can be something that is very, very dangerous in that regard. Okay, so it's a very destructive situation when it comes down to jealousy and envy. But it also points to the sovereignty of God. All right, who ultimately used Joseph's suffering for good? You know, we know the end of the story, or most of us know the end of the story. We know how God showed up in that situation. You know, so we'll see that a little bit later on when we come to pretty much the conclusion of this particular section or series that we're working on and talking about the life of Joseph. But we'll see how Joseph later rises to power in Egypt. Now, as we look at our passages today, and as we reflect on this particular story, and as we kind of take that in and allow the scripture to saturate who we are, we're challenged to examine our own hearts and to examine our attitudes towards other. Now, let me pose this question. Are we allowing jealousy and envy to drive a wedge between us and our loved ones? Now, if I sit back and I think of this all the time. Nothing causes more of something like this, you know, this envy and this jealousy than when a loved one dies and there is a will, or maybe not a will, there are possessions that are left over. I have seen more families destroyed by the death of a loved one than I have anything else. I've heard so many times, you know, somebody say, well, I guess their true colors are showing now because one got this and the other one didn't get that, or however the situation may be. And you know what? I don't even really need to explain this to you because most of you have either seen this or experienced it in your own life. I certainly pray that if you've experienced it, you have been the one that was taken advantage of rather than the one that was taking advantage of someone else. Those things that jealousy and envy can drive wedges between our loved ones, our blood kin. You know, the question is, are we willing to forgive those who have betrayed us? Well, that's a tough question, isn't it? When you know that somebody has willingly betrayed you, are you willing to forgive them? Can you do that? Are you willing to forgive them knowing that God can bring beauty out of that brokenness? Because he certainly can, all right? So when you think about those situations, yeah, maybe, as I mentioned that, when I said just a moment ago, are you willing to forgive those who have betrayed you? Somebody came to your heart or your mind. There is somebody that has betrayed you. And you know what? They may not even be in your life anymore. They may not even be on this planet anymore. They may have already gone on to glory or somewhere else. But the bottom line is we still carry that around with us. And if you do, I want you to know something. Yet forgiveness does not have a statute of limitations. Even if somebody has passed away, we are still required to forgive them. And do you realize by not forgiving a person, then what you are doing is you are attaching yourself to that particular sin that you found to be so heinous in their life? Nobody wants that. Listen, be willing. And sometimes I will mention this to people and they'll say, well, you know what? I don't even know how to do that. Yeah, if you're in that boat and you don't know how to do that, then I just ask that you just get on your knees somewhere when you get the moment and say, Lord, look, I want so bad to forgive. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to forgive them as you have forgiven me. And Lord, I don't know how. So you say, Lord, you're going to have to teach me. And I promise you that he will. And I also want you to know this, that forgiveness is not always a one and done situation. You know, you sit back and say, to the best of your heart and knowledge, you have forgiven somebody. And then it crops back up again. It conjures back up those those old feelings. You know what? You may have to go back and say, hey, I have forgiven this person. Now, trust me when I tell you that the Lord truly does when there is repentance. The Lord throws the sin as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. That means that God doesn't remember it. Our problem is too often we like to remember it and bring it up. Or if we don't remember it, when I say we remember it, that's because Satan keeps bringing it up in our life. Well, you remember what so-and-so did to you? You remember how they betrayed you? And it just starts to make us boil inside once again. And it brings back all of those old feelings that we've asked the Lord to not only forgive us of, and asking the Lord, hey, help me to forgive that particular person. So, you know, sometimes you have to go back to the well and say, Lord, look, I know I asked forgiveness. I know that you did that, but those thoughts are being conjured back up again. So, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me of those things once again. And what happens is eventually that becomes easier and easier and easier to do. So, you know, the big question, are you willing to forgive those who have betrayed you? You know, when we apply that to our passage today, you'd have to ask this question. After all those things, and by the way, we're just getting started with Joseph's life in that regard, but even after what his brothers have done to him, do you think Joseph was willing to forgive them at that point? And if that was you, would you be willing to forgive your brothers if they looked at you in that regard? See, most of the time, what we really want is we want a pound of flesh. You know, we want retaliation and we want retribution and restitution. We want all those rolled into one. But yet, that's not what God tells us. God says that we are to forgive others, including family members, as we have been forgiven. And boy, has God forgiven us of so much. So as we think about this particular section today, remember one of the things that I wanted us to look at last week, we looked at what Joseph's dream and his vision was, and as he shared that with his family. And today we wanted to look at how he was betrayed by his family members. And we've gotten to the point so far that he has been sold into slavery. And as I leave you right here, he's essentially on his way, or he's arrived down to Egypt, and he is being sold into an officer of Potiphar's household. And we'll pick it up a little bit more next week. But as we wrap things up today, betrayal by family members is a very, very painful experience. One that you could probably preach more to me about than I can preach to you at this particular point. So betrayal by family members is a painful experience, but we can take comfort in knowing that God is with us in our suffering along the way, because it hurts. When you're suffering, that's painful. But know that God is with you along the way in that suffering, and He can bring about redemption. He can bring about restoration. I think part of the problem is that we so rely on allowing our hatred or our jealousy or our I have the right to be this way that we really don't want restoration in our hearts and minds. Think about it. And most of us can think of a situation. And if I were to come up to you and you explain to me the situation that you had with a person, whether it's a family member or somebody else, and I'd say, look, listen, why don't we get together and work towards restoring this relationship? Man, there's been a lot of times that people have said just flat out, no, I don't want to do that. Yeah, I'm not going to go apologize. I'm not going to work on restoration. If they want to, they can come to me. Just all the things that you've thought of in your life along the way. And then there have been times when they have said, yes, I would like to restore this situation. And we have come together with the two parties. And what they've done is they have essentially tried, one party has tried to talk about how hurt they have been by the other person in that situation. And whether they've owned it or not. Sometimes the other person says, well, you know, look, I'm sorry. And then the person who wanted the apology that got it is not willing to bring about restoration in the relationship. And usually what happens is I will ask this question. I'll say, well, let me ask you this. What does resolution and restoration look like to you? And they will never tell me. And here's why they will never tell me the answer to that question. Because the answer to that question, what they really want to say is, well, I want that person drawn and quartered and hung out in the public square for all to see with a big sign that tells how they, how they hurt me. Okay. And I'm like, but they won't say it. Here's why they won't say it. They won't say it because if they voice it, then they have to own it. So instead, they will never give me an answer as to what restoration really looks like in that particular situation. And often, you know, I will say to them, I'll say, no, because the problem is your mindset is wrong when it comes down to restoration. Your idea of restoration is that somebody get a pound of flesh from the person who has hurt you. And I said, that is not biblical, that there's nothing in the Bible that says anything about us, you know, gaining a pound of flesh from somebody who has wronged us. Never once has that happened. And the interesting part about it is, most of the time, there have been people who have walked away and never worked towards restoration in a relationship. Really, they just wanted to be heard. They wanted to vent. And it wasn't that they wanted to restore that relationship. Even when the opportunities were there, they still walked away. And how sad that situation really, really is. So today I pray that we can learn from Joseph's story and we can strive to cultivate love and forgiveness in all of our relationships. Can we do that as we walk with the Lord? A lot of times people would say, well, you don't understand. If you had been betrayed just by somebody, that's a different story than being betrayed by their family. See, we like to put levels on how upset or how unforgiving we can be. You know, people have said, well, I would be willing to forgive that person, but this was my brother, or this was my cousin, or this was my dad, or my mom, or whoever. But the Lord doesn't give those caveats when he says you must forgive as you have been forgiven. So I want you to remember that as you think about those things and as the Holy Spirit brings them to your heart. He's brought up names and faces and situations and everything else, and he's put the ball in your court and says, what are you going to do about this situation? What are you going to do to restore or to reconcile with these people? Because the Lord is saying you have a right to do that. Now, that doesn't always mean that you have to go to that particular person and have some sort of a conversation. Like I say, you can't do that if they've died and passed on. But obviously, you still need to release them to the Lord and allow the Lord to forgive and to restore you, even if they have nothing to do with the situation anymore. You have to seek the freedom that only comes through the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. So as you think about that, I don't have to pinpoint what it is. You already know. Holy Spirit's already told you who it is. He's already told you what the situation was. He's already leading you on what you need to do. The question is, will you be faithful? Will you be obedient to do what he is asking you to do as you take steps forward? Okay. Well, let me have a word of prayer with us, and then I'll talk about what we're going to look at or what aspect of Joseph's life we're going to look at as we come together next week. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help us to forgive those who have betrayed us. And Lord, I know there are times that many of those that will be listening today have been betrayed in some shape, form, or fashion by a very dear friend or even family member. So Lord, I pray that you will help us to forgive those who have betrayed us. And Lord, help us to seek to reconcile those relationships that we had with them. Lord, may we trust in your sovereignty. Lord, and may we believe that you can bring good out of even the most difficult circumstances that we face in our lives. So Lord, may all these things be so as we lift up this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, listen, I thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. I want to tell you what we're going to be looking at next week. Remember, in week one, we talked about the fact that Joseph had this dream. He expressed it to his brothers, who he already had problems with because Joseph was his father's favorite, and they knew it. Plus, the dream said that his brothers would be bowing down to him. They didn't take kindly to that. That was last week. Today, we talked about how his brothers tried to get rid of him, how they were going to kill him. They threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. They were trying to get rid of their problem, meaning their brother, once and for all. So next week, we want to spend a little bit of time in Genesis chapter 39. So I want to encourage you to read Genesis chapter 39 this week, specifically verses 1 through 23. And next week, we're going to be talking about from prison to Potiphar's house, okay? From prison to Potiphar's house, all right? So we're going to look at those concepts and those aspects of the Word of God as we see it coming forth next week. And I may have said that backwards. It may be from Potiphar's house to prison. Let's just say it that way. But again, we're going to be continuing our series from the pit to the palace, God's providence through betrayal and hardship. And betrayals and hardships are something each and every one of us face more often than we should, but nonetheless we do. Are we handling those things in a godly manner? Okay, so I pray that you'll join us next week. As always, if you don't have a church home or if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, I want to encourage you to come worship with us on Sunday mornings. Our service starts at 11:45. We do have discipleship opportunities through Sunday school, through small groups, men's small groups, women's small groups. During the school year, we have Awana for the children. So a lot of ways that you can be discipled and a lot of places that you can serve the Lord. So we would certainly love to have you come with us. And I want to extend to you that personal invitation. And as you show up, be sure to say, hey, look, man, I'm so-and-so. I watch you on the Wednesday Bible study. And we look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday morning at Central Baptist Church. God bless. Have a great week. And may God bless you and those around you in an incredible way. Have a great day. ¶¶